Fred Film Radio.
You are listening to Fred Film Radio, Benedicte Pro, covering for you the 21st edition of the Marrakesh Film Festival. And today I have the pleasure of meeting with Kirill Serebrennikov, who's been invited here to give a masterclass. Hello, Kirill. As you are coming here for a masterclass, I think it's appropriate to ask you, because you're coming for theater, scenography, I mean, when you wanted to use the screen and as a material and start making films?
I wanted to be film director since my childhood, and it was like many years ago, believe me. And but I had no possibility, or how to say, kind of circumstances to start making a film. And my first job, my first passion was the theater making, and later on it film came into my life. The filmmaking came into my life later, and now I sharing my life between two arts, let's say, but it's quite interesting and quite different.
And at the same time, the texture that that I imagine that you work with a lot in theater is something that I find very specific of your cinema. It's very unique, the way you even like almost break the screen. This is the only example I can think of this happening as a viewer. I've never seen that before.
No, look, probably I working in theater, I'm fond of touching the people and having their life, them alive, and cinema is just shadows on the wall. That's why probably I need more flash, more scent, more energy. That's why I try to jump out from the screen, or me, or the characters of my films. Yeah, but anyway, when I start working in the theater, I try to forget about the cinema. When I start shooting the film, I try to get rid of theater at all, and to it's like Mr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde, you know, there's two sides of the same character.
There is certainly a duality in your cinema, whether it is in Petrov's Flu, Tchaikovsky's Wife, or Limonov, your latest, that you seem to be moving between a world of hallucinations and something that is a little bit closer to reality.
I love the hallucination because it's like, well, it's my life, it's hallucination.
But you're using a tool that is a tool of theater, which is this unbroken time.
It's not a theater. I would say that Unbroken Time, I mean long takes, it's pure, for me it's pure cinema. Cinema without the cuts. The cinema, the origin of the cinema, first footages had no cuts. It's just camera, and they fix the reality. I love documentary films, and I love documentary idea of fixing the life is quite crucial for me. That's why I try to show the audience that there are no tricks, there are no cuts. The life is real, and we're just showing the reality as it is, without any hidden tools, or without pretending, or just showing one side of it instead of. No, we have 360 degrees observation of this reality. I'm dreaming of this VR and AR reality. I love it a lot. I love the when the reality looks. Film reality looks crazily real, without any kind of pretending that it's not real, something real stuff.
Coming back on Limonov, I think everybody has a conception or a preconception of art as well as politics. Was your decision to take risks and show something, I mean, a version of yourself that is not necessarily expected by everybody?
Yeah, it's one of the most complex projects in my life, probably, because first of all, we started it before the war, and war gave, when it started just within we shoot it in Moscow, and then we stopped and had to continue. We had no idea whether we continue or not. So it was like half a year of no idea what to do, and then we built another set of New York, the second set. So we built New York twice, and we continued to work, and of course it has changed a lot. I mean, in terms of ideology and of mood and the vibrations of the film, vibe of the film, because war is a very real and very bloody and terrible thing, and you can't get rid of the just throw away the idea that Limonov was a person of resentment. He was a character of the war. He was a man of the war. He just looking for the war everywhere, and it's became kind of some crazy coincidence for us. First, second, it's like most controversial person ever. There are no one key or one angle for him. For me, he's a poet, but at the same moment, he became a person who wants to destroy the world. He's a passionate lover, but at the same moment, he's a hater, or he's a person who wants to destroy the world, I guess. He was straight, but at the same moment, he had a he described the most crazy, and for the first time, he described the gay scene, first gay scene in Russian literature in general. So it's like, at the same moment, he, as I told, he's a person of resentment, and all the resentments normally lead to the war. So war is a part of this identity, of the DNA. Very controversial, very complicated, and the project in general very tough for me. It's a French novel. Italian producers, Russian director, English language, British actor, so it's like too tough, yeah.
In the case of your upcoming film, The Disappearance of Joseph Mengele, the adaptation from the novel by Olivier Guez, the figure is less controversial in that everyone is pretty much in accordance about this figure. So the film is upcoming, like I mentioned. What can you tell us about The Disappearance, and do you have other projects lined up?
I made a disappearance, we finished the disappearance, and it's the only thing I can say about it, that it's, the character is even worse. It's like another, I'm choosing very bad guys for portraying in the films, but I think it's important because if we don't get what evil is, what all this mean for us today, then we never get rid of this dark side of the mankind. It's important. We called Limonov the Russian Joker, and this kind of almost gothic figure of Mengele, who embodies the all dark sides of the humanity. I don't know, he's completely unhuman, but at the same moment he has his kind of statements, and all the statements he pronounced in the film, and suddenly, and it's frightening, becoming part of our life, our today's life. So this figure, I don't want to say anything because it will come later.
Do you know what figure you might want to shoot next?
I'd like to avoid the figuring, the portraiting of the real figures, so it will be some original script without known names of the characters.
Weren't you preparing The Phantom of the Opera?
No, it will be before The Phantom. The Phantom is kind of long-term, I think. Big project. We need to write the script. It will take time. It will be probably my first French film, tiny, very chamber, almost love story, but at the same moment about the... I can't say about what, because it's like I even don't know the right words how to explain it.
Will it be in French?
It will be the first French film.
What can you tell us about it?
It's kind of love story about the love to the photographers.
Coming back on Limonov, a controversial figure, someone we might even call a bad guy. What is daring about your approach of what we're going to call bad guys is that is giving them a bit this human side, or at least you choose to show one facet of them to show that they're also human.
Love your question, and you have an answer in your question. Of course, all bad guys are human, and they are part of us. Limonov lives in almost each Russian person. I can feel it in me as well, because I'm from the Soviet Union. I remember this time. I have a lot of features of resentment as well. It's always portraying these bad guys. It's a bit of self-analyzing. But it's very nice exercise for everyone, because we are consisting not only of the bright and light and nice sides or features. Yeah. It's very important to be honest when you face yourself when you come to the mirror and look at your reflection. You need to say something. It should be something truthful. Or you need to find the truth, or otherwise we were living in the mountains of lie. And please, let's find something real. And cinema, for me, art today, theater in particular, is very real. It's very about the truth. And cinema, not that truthful, but theater is definitely something about real stuff, real flesh, real people on stage suffering, doing, acting, and saying something in your presence and expressing what they feel or what they're feeling next to you, living in the second, in this particular second. And it's very important to get some real rope of reality to find their way in the between the mountains of lie.
It feels like even when you approach darker figures, I mean, of course, Lieta was very summary and very, but you go far into describing decay, but also there is always a measure of vitality and of humor and of exuberance that balances it to varying degree depending on the figure.
I'm not enough depressive, unfortunately, or unfortunately, I like to laugh. I like the jokes. I it's boring if you always kind of focused on terrible things, and all these terrible things sometimes are just funny. And then this sense of humor gives a kind of, because all, you know, in Russian paradigma, it's very important to have the light in the end of the tunnel. It's like national feature. Let's look for the light. You need to give the positive something. Yeah, and I understand that people can't live with a heavy weight on the shoulders of the film, because they never come back to the cinema again.
Thank you so much, Kirill.
Fred, 24/7 on Fred FM and smartphone app.